For full details, including terms and conditions, visit unlock.com/legal. Call 1-888-780-6854 to speak with a representative today. Actor portrayal. Terms and conditions apply. Not available in all states.
Hey, homeowners. Can I get a minute of your time? If you need cash but don't want another loan, I've got the perfect solution. You can access up to $500,000 of your home's equity without monthly payments or interest ever with Unlock. This isn't a loan. It's a home equity agreement. With Unlock, you may qualify for cash today in exchange for a share of your home's future value. No debt. No extra bills. Just financial flexibility on your terms. Use the money however you want. Home improvements, paying off debt, investing, or boosting your retirement savings. Unlike HELOCs, home equity loans, or cash out refis, there are no monthly payments. No stress. You've built this equity. Now it's time to use it. Go to unlock.com for more information.
Don't wait. Call 888-780-6854 to unlock the equity in your home and get up to $500,000 in cash with no monthly payments and no interest ever. Call 888-780-6854, 888-780-6854, or visit unlock.com. That's unlock.com for more information.
For 36 years, the Goldman Environmental Prize has celebrated everyday heroes who are showing us that every action has the power to turn apathy into positive change for the environment. Heroes like Besyana Gurri and Olsi Nika, who helped create Europe's first Wild River National Park. Visit us at goldmanprize.org to discover the stories of this year's Goldman Environmental Prize winners. And learn how when it comes to protecting our planet, the doing makes the difference.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
Welcome to another edition of Better Living, a show about people or organizations having a big impact here in North Texas. I'm your host, Chris Arnold of 105.3 The Fan. Joining us this morning is the president and CEO of the Texas Women's Foundation, Karen Hughes White. How you doing, Karen?
I am really well. And Chris, I'm a fan of yours.
Look out. I appreciate that. I've been around long enough, right?
Haven't we all? Wow.
Yes, time flies. As a matter of fact, time flies for the Texas Women's Foundation because it's like 40 years now, the anniversary.
Yeah, so don't rush us. We'll be 40 in November.
Wow.
We're 39 and a half. Mm-hmm. And so thrilled to have been serving Texas women and girls now with more than $85 million worth of impact in that time. So our pleasure to do the work that needs to be done here in Texas.
It's absolutely amazing. And the story is just so outstanding. Was it 19 individuals that got together in 1985 and created the Dallas Women's Foundation? And then it changed the name because you guys are so helpful, so organized, so caring. And the work you were doing is like, okay, this is the Texas Women's Foundation. Am I kind of close on that?
You have done your homework, Chris. You've got it exactly right. So there were 19 women back in 1985. This was when, women had just gotten the right to have a credit card in their name.
That's something.
To own property. And so these 19 women, very different kinds of women, who P.S. showed up differently at the ballot box today. I'm not sure it would be possible for 19 women with diverse political ideologies to get together, but these women, and the through line, the connection for these women was that they believed there had been an historic underinvestment in women and girls here in Texas, and that collective philanthropy could help change that. Right. So some of these women, had great means. Others of these women did not, but they knew exactly where to place funding to drive change. And so they came together and formed, you're right, the Dallas Women's Foundation, which over time had an impact that was really being felt statewide. And a dream to take the impact even further. So you're right. In 2019, what became the Texas Women's Foundation, with a focus on building strong women and a better world thinking that if we could do things differently here in Texas, people would pay attention and follow suit. So that is our story.
Absolutely amazing. Again, major props. I mean, you guys are committed to advancing economic security, leadership opportunities for women and girls. And the measure of progress, I want to know what you consider the yardstick for the progress that you've made. Because, again, it's hard to believe that back in the 1980s, like you said, women were having a hard time getting a credit card in their own name. And that's like late 20th century. It's like, oh, that didn't happen in the 1800s. No. It was late 20th century.
Yeah, it was. And you know, Chris, we're still understanding why it is that women struggle to achieve just at a baseline economic security, mm-hmm. and then sort of moving up that stability and then ultimately economic success. And we know that financial freedom, financial acumen, and optionality are really important for women. In 2012, we began studying through research the barriers that really keep women from achieving, again, that security to baseline level, stability, and success. Mm-hmm. Partnered with an organization, a think tank out of San Antonio, to produce a report that comes out every 2 years. We call it the Economic Issues for Women in Texas Report. And what that report showed us is sort of where those measuring sticks need to be, right? It mm-hmm. shows us that healthcare access, including reproductive care, is an enormous barrier for women to be able to participate fully, consistently, and productively in the workforce. We've learned that childcare is a huge barrier
yes.
for women. Right, to do those same things.
I can imagine. I mean, think about it. I think more and more corporations and small businesses are realizing you've got to have part of that as your structure, as part of your culture of your organization, or you're going to lose quality talent.
Well, and you're spot on there. So our research also tells us that in the here and now, women make up 46% of the Texas workforce. That workforce drives a $2.4 trillion economy for the state of Texas, the largest and the most robust in the nation.
Nice.
And our research tells us, and it's been widely reported, that if Texas were a country, mm-hmm. It would be the eighth largest in the world based on that economy. And so what we know that is, you know, is that women are driving a huge piece of this, and that there are real infrastructure issues that keep women from participating at the highest level, again, consistently, productively in this workforce. So to your point, as companies, corporations, businesses begin to understand the increasing dependence on women to drive the economy, to drive their business outcomes, they are taking note of the need to work to remove these barriers. We just published some new research on the wage gap here mm-hmm. in Texas. And, you know, Chris, to your point of, you know, why are we still talking about certain things right in the late 20th century?
Yeah, it's hard to believe, but it's true. Yeah, it's crazy.
Right. Now the 21st century, right? We mm-hmm. we actually passed the Equal Pay Act in the 70s. You and I were just mere children, right? Mm-hmm. We're still talking about the fact that women in Texas make 83 cents on the dollar compared to their male counterparts. And this is true across all ages and stages of life and work experience, and across all races and ethnicities, and across all industries. What we released recently was the economic impact on the state each year based on the pay disparities. Each year, the Texas economy takes a $60.1 billion hit to economic stimulation based on women's lost earnings and reduction in consumer spending. That's a big number. And I think it was shocking, right?
For it really people. Is. My jaw is dropped right now. I'm like, what? Because the first thing that rolled into my mind was, you're losing talent. In other words, women who can do those same things, for, you know, a dollar for dollar, they're going to take a job somewhere out of the state.
Well, and they're going to have to make those difficult choices, right? When they're not earning enough, they're having to make difficult choices around staying in the workforce, right? Or cutting back hours, reducing hours, right? To be able to afford childcare, care for their children, maybe play the role of caregiver for family members. We know that that burden and responsibility also, you know, often falls to women. So the wage gap really forces women to make really difficult decisions. Now, I think, you know, $60 billion is a jaw-dropping number. And what dropped my jaw was that over her lifetime, the average Texas woman, across five income quintiles stands to lose $750,000 in lifetime earnings simply because of the wage gap. Now, Chris, that's material. What would we do with $750,000?
Right.
It buys a house.
Yes.
That puts kids through college. It builds net worth. It builds economic security for sure, stability, yes, and even starts to build some economic success. So as a foundational element, this concept of paying women equally and fairly is something that we feel at Texas Women's Foundation is long overdue, and challenge our corporate partners, our businesses who call North Texas home, who call Texas home, you know, to take a look at compensation strategies, to do those market valuations. That's just good standard business practices and get women where they need to be from an income standpoint.
And you know what else? I was thinking about this as you were saying it. To me, if I was the CEO of a corporation, I would look at it as a competitive advantage to pay women the same thing they're paying men in the same position. In other words, since other companies don't seem to be doing it and there's a wage gap, I would think if I'm trying to get the best of the best, and especially women who are the best of the best, I would look at that as a competitive advantage at this stage.
100%, right? Spot on. And you're hired, by the way.
Thank you.
Over here at Texas
Women. Get the word out. It's just common sense. It's common sense, Chris,
and it's good business.
Yes.
Right? In the same way that we understand, right, that building a diverse workforce with differing perspectives around the table, with different lived experience coming into the workforce, into your business, that is good for business. We know we have the data that shows that it drives business results. It drives net process or profits. It drives shareholder value. We know this is good for business, right? So what I'll say is you would be one smart businessman.
Exactly. Well, but not just me, but anybody would be smart if they say, okay, especially in this day and age where everybody's looking about, okay, when everyone's saying, okay, we need to be efficient. That's the key phrase. Well, guess what? If you want to get bang for your buck, you should pay women and diversify your entire workforce and get the best of the best, as opposed to being more selective and saying, well, you know what? Maybe she's not quite as, or maybe, you know, whatever, she's not old enough, or maybe whatever it is, you're hurting yourself.
100%. And I'll make a non-data-driven comment here.
Okay.
Based on many years of experience in the workforce, and I won't say how many because, you know, that's jaw-dropping to me is how have I gotten this old?
Time flies.
Women get things done, right? If you want to build an effective and efficient workforce, women don't play. We can't play,
right?
The responsibilities that we have for our families, immediate and extended, the many ways in which we involve ourselves in our communities. We have a lot to do. We are busy people. So when we are at work, we are focused, we are productive, and we are getting stuff done. So you want to build a productive workforce, hire a workforce full of women, right? And watch that work for you. So complete editorial comment based on my experience as a leader, both on the for-profit side of the world and on the nonprofit side of the world.
As they say on social media, facts.
Take it. It is facts, right?
Yeah. We're talking to the president and CEO of the Texas Women's Foundation, Karen Hughes White. And Karen, you guys, you have so many different things that I really enjoy about doing all things the right way. And one of the things I would love for you to delve into is the Women's Life Cycle Leadership Development. And some of those programs that you're working on, because I know there's a lot of ears right now saying, wow, they seem to be getting things done. What are some of the things that they're doing?
Well, so here are the facts, right? That women in Texas only occupy about 28% of the top executive positions here. Mm-hmm. That marks some growth over the last decade plus. But it's not enough. It's less than a third. And we make up, you know, again, almost half of the workforce.
Yeah.
We believe in developing women and developing their leadership skills across their life cycle. So our programs begin with the very youngest of emerging leaders. Our Best Self program is aimed at teens 13 to 16. It's a fabulous once a year event where we pour into these young women with a half a day worth of leadership development, empowerment, and it's a good time. I'll tell you that. There's mm-hmm. nothing more energizing than to be with that group of women and watch them dream, right?
Mm-hmm.
We also pour into college-age women as part of a national collaborative with an initiative called the Young Women's Initiative. That actually has some funding from Melinda Gates, Pivotal Ventures.
Right,
across,
okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, across the nation. So we're in charge of the Young Women's Initiative here in Texas. We partner with an organization called Ignite on college campuses in four key markets here in Texas. So that's a statewide program. From there, we've got some networking groups, I'll call them networking groups, stakeholder groups of women that are at different points in their career trajectories. Our 19 network, which is named for our 19 founders, is a group of young professionals and other key stakeholders here in the community that again sort of model that belief in collective philanthropy that started this organization. And they gather to learn about the needs in the community and to make change through an annual grant making process. They are donors to this organization. Some of them enter and give us $19 a month, right? They grow up with us. We introduce okay. them to philanthropy, the power of collective philanthropy, and provide a lot of content and community and camaraderie. Right? Some mm-hmm. social to build that connection. We think it's so important for that group of emerging leaders. Moving up, we have our Executive Leadership Council of executive level women. Again, we provide a sense of community there and some content and connection back to the needs of this community. That's a great group of women who are leading and breaking barriers. And then our newest program coming back online will be our Leadership Institute. And that's for women that are getting ready to make that next move to the highest level of leadership. That's going to be a program where we pour into these women over a 9-month period of time, equipping them with the skills they need to manage that next level, right? Which mm-hmm. oftentimes, if you're headed to the C-suite, or the partnership suite, mm-hmm, right, mm-hmm. or whoever that is codified in your industry, it's a whole set of different skills that are needed. You know, by then you've learned to manage yourself, you've learned to manage others, but managing stakeholder groups, right, managing yourself in board settings, navigating the complexities of senior level leadership, and oftentimes the politics of that.
Oh, right? Yeah.
So, Oh my gosh. So this program will be a bespoke program. It's being created just for Texas Women's Foundation. And we're excited to share more as we launch that. The first cohort will get going in the fall, and we'll have more information on that here soon. And we'll be able to share that for interested candidates. So, you know, again, across the stages and phases of women's lives and their leadership journeys, I mean, frankly, whether they're leading in a corporate setting, in a nonprofit setting, leading in life and mm-hmm. community, there's really an opportunity to plug in with us, to find community, and to develop in a group setting, right, with like-minded women who care deeply about others.
I love the way you're going with this, Karen, because in today's world, networking is so huge, because it used to be, you know, before the pandemic, I'm not going to say the pandemic kind of slowed things down or stopped things, but before the pandemic, people would naturally network, or they didn't at all. And then since the pandemic, people started isolating a little bit more. Either they go to work for a few days or they stay at home from work, and they don't get to have the natural growth by meeting people and picking their brains and like-minded people, or like you said, some people who had been in the business a little bit longer. And so I think it's huge that you have these opportunities for networking. And can you talk about some of the success of that? Because in all seriousness, what you explained was very, very, I mean, exciting to hear about, but I'm like, it's just the painting of the pictures of like, wow, I can see these young women, these young girls, you know, getting involved at the 19. You know, early yeah. on. And then like they have mentees and mentors now, you know, or they have people they can get in touch with. They can text and say, you know what? I ran across something that happened to me just like what we were talking about.
It's what we believe we exist to do mm-hmm. at Texas Women's Foundation, is to serve as a convener and a connector to help women. So your point is so well taken, right? We sort of lost our muscle a little bit yeah. during COVID, mm-hmm. right? Those natural opportunities to be out and about, right? So
right.
we worked to recreate those and recreate those in a way that is intergenerational, mm-hmm. Intersector in terms of industry, bringing women together that can find connection, they can find mentorship, and most importantly, they can find sponsorship, right? So that's a big piece of the equation for women succeeding in their careers. There's research out there that says women are over-mentored, but under-sponsored. We call, right? So, and a difference, right?
There is a difference.
Yeah, many women and men that are willing to pour into the development of others. But when it comes to truly taking an interest in a woman's career and her career advancement, to bring her along, to open those doors, mm-hmm. to invite her to the table, that's where things break down for women. Sponsorship for women is not just women sponsoring women, right? Sponsorship for women involves our male counterparts too.
Right.
It will take all of us, right, to help women take that next step into leadership. And so sponsorship is something that we focus on it again through each one of those stakeholder groups, and the events and the content we're providing is just to make sure women understand the difference and can understand how to find, approach and work with a sponsor very effectively. Flip side, we are talking to executive level women. Right. And I'm going to borrow a phrase from my friend, Cint Marshall.
Ah, there you go.
I'm telling you now, because that she's the one.
She is.
But Cint's got it. You know, she loves her acronyms. Right. She's got an acronym, HASU. Mm-hmm. And that is short for hook a sister up. Right.
Yes.
So as we talk to women leaders and we talk to them about their journey to the C-suite or the decision making seat at the table, right? We talk to them about maybe even the responsibility they have to bring others along and maybe make the path for the next woman a little easier than her path was, right? So again, that that convening, that connection, that building community around women and among women is serving us well. We are seeing that. One of the ways we see it, Chris, is as we see it, we celebrate it. So every year, Texas Women's Foundation hosts a leadership forum and an award celebration. And as part of that event, and it's coming up on May 8th, and I sure hope you'll come and be with us because it's a fabulous event.
Oh, I bet. I would love to. We'll try to work that out.
Yes, you got to come. I mean, you know, sometimes, you know, there are just a very few courageous men in the audience, but I take you as one of those that would be, you know, courageous and come and stand in the fog.
Exactly. That's you've identified me.
I'm seeing you, Chris, and here we are on the radio, right? But what I'll say is this event is amazing in terms of showcasing women who have walked the walk and they overcome those barriers, and they stand as an example to others in that spirit of, if you can see it, you can be it, right? We award our MORA, Women Helping Women recipients, and we identify and celebrate young leaders each year. This year, there are 5 stellar MORA recipients, St. Marshall among them, Anne Chow.
Pure greatness. Yeah, but Anne is awesome too.
Anne Chow, her new book, Lead Bigger. She's going to give us we're calling it an Anne talk. We call it a TED talk, but her name is Anne.
That's right. That's right. I've heard her speak, and I had a chance to meet her. I met her through Scent, and she is, both of them are just dynamos. Everybody knows that. But yes, Anne's the best.
So we're so fortunate to be able to recognize their leadership. Dr. Corrine Faiton, Chancellor for Texas Women's University. Dr. Rupa Da Silva, doing amazing things around healthcare access for women and girls here in the North Texas area. And then Jennifer Bartkowski, who's the CEO of Girl Scouts of North Texas.
Yes.
That's our slate of award winners this year. So if you can't get behind that group of women, right?
Oh, exactly. And like you said, pick their brains, find out things from them, listen to some of their conversations, some of their AND talks or TED talks. The bottom line is you can find out the power of knowledge and the power of getting ahead and getting invited and having the confidence to believe in yourself and know that there's others out there like you.
Yeah. I mean, this, you know, if people are able, gosh, I'd encourage you to come on the 8th. This, you know, will feature these 5 stellar women as part of a leadership forum that's compact, right? It's a 90-minute sort of mini conference. And I've started referring to it as a masterclass, right? With these micro learning sessions from these incredible women. There is no doubt that you will have a notebook full of, you know, drop the mic nuggets from these women who have just led the way and are so exemplary. So if people can make it to join us for that forum, you can find information on our website Thursday, May 8th at the Omni Dallas. And we are going to have, we're going to have a great time just basking in the greatness of these folks.
Most definitely. Again, the Texas Women's Foundation has been around for 39 and a half years, awarding more than $85 million in grants. This year alone, investing $6 million in strategic initiative programs and grants, supporting women's economic security and leadership, just getting all of those things done. Karen, you've been in the nonprofit space a long, 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 long time, even way back when the Susan B. Komen Foundation were doing the walks everywhere, and you were like in the middle of all of that. Do you still have a little dog named Murdoch? Do you still have that rescue pup?
I do have a dog named Murdoch. Oh my gosh, he's so fabulous. Yes, he's part pit bull and part boxer. And so he looks very, very ferocious and formidable. And Chris, he's a marshmallow. Right? Just big old hairy marshmallow.
Yeah.
So yes. And I have 3 children, so I really shouldn't give all the love to Murdoch, but I have 3 young adult children and I've been in the nonprofit sector for a long time. And what a blessing, right? I've worked for the Susan G. Komen mission, working to, you know, to find cures for breast cancer. I served St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, working to find cures for childhood cancer. I had the great honor of serving as the CEO of TriDelta, as in Delta, Delta, Delta. Can I help you? Help you? Help you?
Look out.
Right? My own sorority, educating and empowering women to change the world. Sort of one college student that grows into a beautiful, accomplished alumna at a time, and then found my way to Texas Women's Foundation. I have led incredible causes. I've been able to contribute to just the best missions, so often focused on women and girls, and certainly had the opportunity, right, to drive a lot of dollars and impact. But the greatest thing I've done in my life, Chris, is as a mom. So I'm a mom to Mary Patrick White, Will White, and T. White. They are all college grads and productive citizens in the world. They've grown into amazing humans that I like. I love spending time with them, and they're doing good things in the world, right? So, yeah, that's probably my proudest accomplishment.
Well, that's a perfect fit. You and the Texas Women's Foundation. She is the president and CEO, Karen Hughes White. Karen, thank you for joining us. And the big event is on May 8th. More information at thetexaswomensfoundation.org.
Thank you, Chris. Appreciate you.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts. What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And now here's the latest from our Odyssey series, all about Earth Day, coming up this Tuesday.
Welcome to Odyssey's One Thing Earth Day special. When we each do one thing to help the environment, it becomes 100 things, 1,000 things, 1,000,000 things for our planet. That's the power of one thing. Today, we go to South Florida, where Odyssey hosts Evie Unleashed from Power 96 and Ashley O from 104.3 The Shark lead our conversation for Earth Day, coming up on April 22nd. They're joined by Kat Uden from Oceana to talk about protecting our planet's oceans. From beach cleanups to limiting plastic use to becoming civically engaged with local lawmakers, Kat shares what you can do to keep our oceans clean and safe. Now here's Evie and Ashley.
Hello, hello. I am Evie Unleashed, and we've got a tag team show. I've got my girl Ashley O.
Hello, hello.
There's a special reason we're connected besides the fact that we're down the hall from each other. And it's all about the ocean and preserving it. And we have a special guest, Kat Uden. She is a senior field representative here in South Florida of Oceana. Hello.
Hello. Thanks so much for having me.
You're very welcome. So FYI, just in case we didn't know, you know it's Earth Month, right? Right, mm-hmm. Right. So this past Friday, I actually did a beach cleanup with my son and his school. His entire fifth grade class did some volunteering. It was actually my first time doing it. You know, being here in South Florida for so many years, I was like, it's my first time. Now, I've worked with organizations. I've talked about it. We've interviewed. But actually getting in the thick of it, in the sand and in the sun. And we went to a local beach, Dania Beach. And when I walked onto the beach, I was like, well, this is beautiful. I mean, this is going to be pretty fast because there's not much here. Yeah, right. We walked away with 120 pounds of trash on a beautiful, like, initially to the eyes, it looks nice and clean. But when you start digging in, there was so much. So, number one, kudos to all the kids that did a lot of hard
work. Yes.
But that's exactly why we're having this conversation, because we don't realize how big this problem is. So, kick it off, Kat. Give us some information on how you started and where you're at now and why you're so passionate about what you do.
Well, thank you again for having me. My name is Kat Uden. I'm Senior Field Representative for Oceana, and we are the world's largest international nonprofit organization that works solely on ocean conservation, and we do it through science-based policy. So I am in the advocacy arm of Oceana. We have a whole team. You know, we have a DC office, and although we're in many different countries, I work on the North American campaigns. I work on offshore drilling, fisheries protections, plastic pollution, and plastic pollution is something that I'm really passionate about. I actually started out as a Broward County public school teacher.
Oh, really?
For 15 years.
No way!
And I started volunteering at a lot of beach cleanups.
There we go.
And eventually became a volunteer chair of the Surfrider Broward chapter and started hosting my own cleanups, inviting lawmakers. And it was such a huge problem. I'm also a stand-up paddler, and I see the plastic and the debris that's in our waterways. And every time I paddle, I'm picking up trash out of the ocean, trash on the beach, and it became such a worrying problem that I wanted to do something on a higher level. So I left teaching, and now I work for Oceana, and one of the things that I work on the most is our plastic pollution campaign. So we make sure that our oceans are protected, that our marine life and endangered species like the North Atlantic right whale have protections, and it's just something that I'm very passionate about, and we all should care about, whether we're by the ocean or not.
Yes. We go and enjoy our beaches, and we love South Florida, but it's like, how much do we love it? Are we really paying attention to what we're doing? And I know you have a lot of experience, Ashley, working with organizations and being out there too.
It's crazy what you see once you get into it and actually start working on the problem. And that's what I find crazy about your story, is you started doing these ocean cleanups and then felt called to do something higher. But what else have you learned along the way, impact-wise, that our ocean has on, well, us everywhere? Because once you start doing the work, you realize it's not just about picking up a bottle cap or saving a turtle. Mm-hmm. There's a much bigger picture here. Mm-hmm.
Yes, it goes much deeper. And if we can't just rely on cleanups. They're so important, and they're a great gateway to advocacy, and they help people see what the problem is. But we're never going to solve the problem with cleanups. We mm-hmm. need to solve it. A lot of people make the analogy, if your bathtub is overflowing, do you go grab a mop first or do you turn off the tap?
Mm-hmm. Probably the biggest statement that shocks me right now, because a lot of people do think, okay, yes, we're helping. And that's just like the surface, I'm assuming.
Yes.
But So what is it that the bigger problem is and how we can help?
Yeah, so I work for Oceana, and obviously we work on protecting the oceans and the marine life, and I care about our dolphins and our whales, and honestly, we should all care about fish. If we're eating seafood, the seafood is eating the plastic, and then we're eating the fish, right? Mm-hmm. So it's a problem for human health as well. But what I want people to remember about plastic is from the time it's made until the time it's disposed of, it's a problem, the whole life cycle of plastic. So it goes a lot deeper than the ocean problem. Even the people who don't care about dolphins and whales and sea turtles can care about people and human health. And then to disposal as well. So you're in Miami. I'm sure you heard about the Doral incinerator fire. Mm-hmm. We don't know what to do with our waste. Our landfills are at capacity. And everything that goes into the landfill or in the incinerator is creating greenhouse gases and contributing to climate change. So even if we were to find a way to recycle all of these plastics or throw the plastic, a lot of people say, well, I'm, you know, responsible with my plastic. I put it in the recycle bin or I put it in the trash can. Mm-hmm. But no matter where it goes, it's causing a problem. We recycle a very tiny portion of the plastic that we use. And again, even if we found a way to do it 100% of the time or responsibly, it's just the act of creating that plastic that's a problem.
So we should be plastic free.
Yes. So like reusable bottles, reusable cups.
Oh,
reusable utensils. I always have a reusable metal spork in my bag that I take place so I never have to use a plastic fork. And a lot of different states across the country and entire nations are reducing their use of single-use plastics. And the United States is the number one plastic producer in the world. So we have a big responsibility and role to play in that.
In the world.
Yes.
Wow.
Would you consider microplastics kind of the most urgent threat we have to our oceans right now?
Microplastics are a huge threat in the oceans, but again, it's kind of the whole spectrum of plastic from production to disposal. Microplastics, if people don't know, they're very tiny. You might have seen them on your beach cleanup. Very, very tiny pieces of plastic. And a lot of times that comes from them photodegrading in the sun in the ocean. They get swirled around in the ocean. They photodegrade in the sun. They break down into tinier, tinier pieces. I've even seen microplastics that are like powder. They're so small. Mm. And, you know, our seafood is eating this, and then we're eating the seafood, and it's a huge issue. It's getting into everything. They found it in honey, in beer, in snow, in the deepest, darkest places of the ocean. There is nowhere that seems to be safe from plastic, and it's also affecting our human health. Oceana just came out with a foam report, polystyrene foam, food containers and drink containers. If somebody wants to go on and read it, it's on our website, and just how these containers are affecting human bodies. These plastics get into our food, into our drinks, especially when you heat them. And like, I won't eat out of polystyrene foam, and I won't let my children drink or eat anything out of polystyrene foam. So just because I'm so educated about it now and I know so much about it. So, it's not just the dolphins and the whales. It's also human health, and it's affecting our water supply and everything that we eat.
The key thing that you said is that because I'm educated and I know about it, and I think a lot of us feel, oh, we're educated, let's pick up the plastic, let's use the plastic and then throw it away properly, let's recycle the plastic, and that's where our knowledge ends. But as you go further, as you said, dig deeper, no pun intended, but you know, it's a lot more complex than that. And even though you're using it responsibly, the fact that we're using it is killing us, killing our wild, our animals, or the fish. It's really, really saddening. Yes. I had no idea.
And I don't fault people for not knowing, beyond that. Well,
correct.
Recycle it or throw it away. It's not a problem, because most of us are taught that way. You know, mm-hmm. Three R's, you mm-hmm. know, reduce, reuse, recycle. I actually don't include recycle in my R's. My R's are reduce, reuse, refuse, and refill. So I leave out recycle altogether because I know the life cycle of plastic, and it's a problem to use it in the first place. But this is why it's important for people like me, because I'm in the advocacy arm of Oceana, to go and educate our lawmakers about it. So I always say I'm not done teaching. I didn't quite leave teaching. I'm just
You're still teaching
kids. I'm teaching lawmakers
and adults
about what they can do. So yes.
That's interesting.
You're actually no stranger to like the inner workings of the legal system and getting policies in place in order to protect our environment. Like, what are some of the behind the scenes things and issues you have to put at the forefront in order to create real policy change specifically for the oceans?
Yeah. So like I said, I came from a school teacher background, so I did not have that, you know, formal advocacy or political training.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody really has to. So when I was volunteering for Surfrider Foundation as a teacher, we would go speak to our lawmakers. We would go to city meetings. There are always usually a portion of the city meetings that are citizen comments, and you go and speak. You can do for 2 or 3 minutes about anything that you want. So even if it's not something on the agenda, you can go speak to all of your lawmakers at the same time, educate them, let them know what you want them to do in your city. And then also, people need to call their lawmakers and they need to make appointments with them. People often think that after you're done voting, that's it. I voted, I did my part as a citizen. But I really encourage people, no matter who wins, even if it was the person you voted for or not, you have to stay in touch with them and you have to let them know what you care about, what they should care about, how they should vote. If you hear about a bill on the news or you read about an article about it, hey, that would be a really good law that would protect the oceans. Call your representative's office, tell them the bill number, tell them you want them to support that bill and why. And sometimes it's just a staff member that answers the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Some people that are really shy, tell them you can call after hours and just leave a voicemail about what bill you want them to vote on, because people say, I'm shy, I don't want to call my lawmaker. So there's many ways that you can get involved, but I encourage people, please stay in touch with your lawmakers. Pay attention to how they vote on bills. Policy change is proven to work. In these places where policies are in place, it's proven to work.
I feel like a lot of us do just vote and feel like that's the end. And a lot of people are not aware that your voice is louder and you're able to literally call. I mean, they all have social media as well. That's another avenue. So be able to speak to them and them actually get a message directly. Like you said, it might be a staff member, but they'll get the message. And it goes further than just voting and, oh, it is what it is. And there's more power in that than just saying, okay, I vote for you, I don't vote for you, and that's the end of it. Some people get discouraged to do something, maybe because they're shy or maybe because they don't know. And that's very important that, you know, you have a voice and you're able to push things further than you actually think.
And one of the most fun things that I've done in my job is I take volunteers who have never spoken to their lawmakers before, and I've taken them to Tallahassee in a group, and we let them know what the issues are, and they learn how to talk to their lawmakers. And that's some of the most rewarding work for me, because then they are empowered to do it again on their own.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel, and how would you respond to maybe someone that feels, oh, saving, being green, Earth Day, and saving our ocean is just a political thing, and they feel that it just happens to be on what side you're on, whether or not you care or not?
Yeah, so Oceana is a 501c3 nonprofit, so we don't take any sides. We're not political. We don't favor one political party over the other. We work with all of our lawmakers, and I've seen the most change happen when we get together with different political parties and get together about what we care about and push for change that way. We saw it here. I live in Florida, so we saw it with our state parks. You know, there was an attack on the state parks where they were going to allow, you know, irresponsible development, and both sides of the aisle came together to fight that development, and it worked. So people need to come together. I know it's very polarized right now, and people feel like they need to take sides on a team. But I've found that there are a lot of environmental issues that we do come together on, and we have to work on that and work together, because that is where the change is going to happen. It's where you reach across the aisle and to people that you're not necessarily comfortable with on other issues and say, look, we agree on saving this river. We agree that we both like fishing and we need to make sure the fish are healthy. You know, and that's when the most change happens, is when you come together and you push them in a bipartisan way.
I love that. So I would ask you this. You mentioned that you are a South Floridian yourself, and here in South Florida, we see it. We enjoy our beaches. Why is it important, and why should other people care when they're not even near the ocean, and why does it matter?
Yeah, that's a very good question, because there are people like, well, I don't care about whales, or I don't go to the ocean.
Yeah,
I live
fish
in the center of the country. They've never been to the beach. You know, the ocean is, it affects everyone. It's 70% of our planet. It actually produces the most oxygen on the planet. A lot of people think about trees when they think about oxygen, but it's also the ocean. It absorbs carbon, so it helps regulate climate and affects our weather. It provides food for people, so it provides our seafood. It's good for tourism, for the economy, for recreation. I know for mental health, sometimes people go out and it just, the being at the beach and the ocean makes them feel better. So people all over the world should really care about the ocean, because it affects us in ways that a lot of people don't really understand.
And you know what's crazy is that so many people go to the ocean, if they're not from here, to go and visit. Like you said, tourism. So you got to care about the ocean if you want to enjoy the ocean.
Yes.
Well, and when you come to enjoy it, I don't know if you necessarily know the impact it has or how much it goes into keeping it like pristine. Because if we didn't do those beach cleanups and whatnot, you don't know exactly what would happen.
Odyssey invites you to find your one thing at odyssey.com/one thing. With Earth Day coming up on April 22nd, Evie and Ashley from Odyssey Miami learn more about ocean conservation from Oceana's Kat Uden.
Hello, hello. I am Evie Unleashed, and we've got a tag team show. I've got my girl, Ashley Yo.
Hello, hello.
There's a special reason we're connected besides the fact that we're down the hall from each other. And it's all about the ocean and preserving it. And we have a special guest, Kat Uden. She is a senior field representative here in South Florida of Oceana. Hello.
Thanks so much for having me.
One of the great things about our company that we have this one thing policy where everybody tries to do one thing to better our planet. Obviously, during Earth Month, it's crucial to try and find something to do that will make a change. You talked about not using any plastics, avoiding styrofoam. What other one things do you do daily that people could implement that could impact our environment?
So I would say, you know, talk to people, tell them why this is important. I tell them why I bring my reusable bottle. I tell them why I bring a fork everywhere. And, you know, those are things that we can do. I use a shampoo bar instead of shampoo in a plastic bottle, mm-hmm. so that I don't use more plastic. But that's really hard for a lot of people to do. Even when you're trying to avoid plastic, it's so difficult because everything at the store is packaged in plastic. And that's why we need policy change, because when you have policy change, corporations have to be more responsible with their products, make things that are made from either things that are going to be degradable or reusable things. We really need to switch more to reuse and refill. So that's something that you can do. But the one thing I would say is, again, contact your lawmakers. We can make it really easy for you at Oceana, because every time you sign a petition at Oceana for whatever campaign it is, you fill out your address, it will go straight through to your members of Congress to let them know that you care about that issue and that you want them to act. And so that is one way you can do it. Again, another way is just to find out who your lawmaker is, call their office. You can leave a message with their staff, say, I would like them to vote this way. I would like them to do something about plastic pollution. So that is really big. Policy change is going to be where it's at. Here in Florida, we actually had a victory last year. We banned the intentional release of balloons. So people cannot intentionally litter balloons into the environment anymore.
Used
to be that you could litter up to 10 per day, which was a very strange policy.
Well, no, wow. You remember some of those videos that went viral last year of them releasing balloons in the bay and it going like directly into the water. It was not a good look at all.
And the public was always upset about that. There was always backlash. Why are we littering balloons into the environment? So I thought, you know what? Let's just change the law, because it should be treated like any other littering. So that was a victory last year, and we had a lot of people write to their lawmakers and support, and that's why it passed, because there was a lot of public pressure to do so. So public pressure can work. So I encourage everyone to pay attention to that. In our beautiful state parks, I don't know if you've ever been to the springs, but we have some beautiful springs in Florida. Wekiwachi State Park, Rainbow Springs at Jatuckney. Those state parks had policies on their rivers that said you couldn't bring disposable containers down the river. Wekiwachi, they used to have to do monthly cleanups every month on the river. It was so trashed with plastic debris. Since they enacted that policy, no disposable containers, all those cleanups went away. It was a dramatic improvement on the river. We need people to write to their lawmakers and tell them, look, if these policies are working and they're helping, please don't take them away.
My confusion comes with the question of, if obviously it's not good for the environment, you're giving us a bunch of information as to how it's not even good for a human, much less what's in the ocean or the rivers. So why do you feel there's so much pushback on regulation to help our environment?
A lot of times it's the same as many other laws. It's just industry. Industry is pushing back, you know, plastic industry, oil
business,
gas industry.
Okay.
Yeah, so we need the public to be louder and also let them know that we care about this. So business will also listen to the consumers. And Oceana just did a poll. We actually released the poll in February. It was a you know, nonpartisan poll of U.S. voters, and it said that, and all the questions that we asked about, do you care about plastic pollution? Do you want policies? Do you believe that corporations should have to reduce? It was almost across the board, 8 out of 10 voters in the United States want something done about plastic pollution. So we need to communicate that to our lawmakers and to businesses to let them know, you know, if I go to a business and they're serving the food or the drinks out of foam, I let them know, look, I really want to purchase from you, but I don't eat food out of foam. So if we put the pressure on our lawmakers and we put the pressure on business and let them know we want more responsible products, then I think that it will work. And that's why I'm encouraging everybody to speak up, speak to the corporations, let them know that you want different products, let your lawmakers know as well, because they, we need to be louder than industry.
Mm-hmm. Man, I'm fired up. Like,
I know, said, I'm ready to go.
It's like, who do I call right
who
now?
Who do I vote for? Let's go. We have to pay attention. That's one thing. Sometimes we just glance at the news for 5 minutes and think we're educated on it. And as much time as we scroll to find out what's going on in the world with your friends, I think it's important. Take a few minutes away to educate yourself. And, you know, even our kids, sometimes our kids know more than us because
yes,
they're in, they have that instilled in them. But we have to be responsible as well. You know, I know life is hard. We have kids, we have families, we're on the go, but this is going to affect our children and our grandchildren.
And we also have to remember, I want people to remember that lawmakers are just regular people. They're regular people who ran for a seat and they don't know everything. They're not educated.
Yes.
They're not
experts,
they're not experts on everything.
They're
they
not.
Know
yes.
A lot about healthcare, but not about, you know, the rivers and the oceans.
Yes.
So that's where people advocacy is important. You need to go and educate your lawmakers because they may not know. And you could end up changing their mind if you go speak to them.
And you did say earlier that on the website, there's some policies and bills and different legislations you guys are working on that people can become up to date on or sign petitions on. Where exactly is the best place for somebody who's also fired up right now to go and get this information? Like, is the website the source?
Yeah, so we have oceana.org is the main one. If you're in the United States, go to usa.oceana.org and you will find all of our campaigns on there. You will also find a page that says Take Action where you can sign one or all of the petitions if you want to. And again, those will go directly through to your members of Congress and to the decision makers to let them know that you care. And then you can also sign up to be a wave maker. So signing up to be a wave maker, when you join, you will also get action alerts and updates when important policies are, you know, introduced or up for a vote so that you can take action. You can also follow us on social media. So there's the main Oceana. And if you're here in Florida, there's an Oceana in Florida. And we have different field reps around the United States. So, you know, that's a way to keep in touch and to take action.
Even if we're trying to do our best, it's hard to do our best when it comes down to everything pretty much being in plastic. So it just like eating the healthiest food, it's so hard. And you mentioned also that the United States is one of the leaders with that. And other countries find it odd that we're not as ahead as we should be.
Other countries are doing a really good job in passing these policies, and we're still waiting on the United States to pass policies. So, yeah, plastic pollution is something that I'm very concerned about. Our endangered species, you know, people who are not by the ocean also need to understand that the ocean is important and it's all connected. So when you remove either a plant or coral or a certain animal from the population, it can affect the food web. It can affect everything else in the ocean. We've seen it on land, too. When you take one species out, it affects other things. It's like a chain reaction.
Mm-hmm.
So right now we have a North Atlantic right whale campaign. There's less than 400 of them left in the wild. I think only about 70 breeding females. They're mainly being killed by two things, entanglement in ropes from lobster and crab traps, or vessel speed, so ships that are going too fast. And they're at risk of extinction. And if we don't do something and follow some policies and force ship speed, they're going to go extinct.
Wow. So how do they enforce it with laws? And I mean, obviously, you know, you have regulations and that's the way to be able to keep everything going in a positive direction.
Yeah. So ship speed is a policy that we work on, looking at the ship speed, what types of vessels should be abiding by the ship speed and where, and also making sure that we monitor and enforce it. The thing with climate change is food sources are changing where they are. And so studies need to constantly be done on where the whales are, where are they traveling, what times of year should we not be having ropes in the water, you know, maybe switching to ropeless gear where you can bring up the traps by remote, and then also the ship speed. So that is another campaign that we work on, our fisheries management, making sure we're not overfishing the oceans. We protect the Magnuson-Stevens Act, which is our nation's key fishery law. We also work on offshore drilling, which is obviously going to affect climate change and how our planet warms. And every 5 years, our nation looks at their offshore drilling leasing plan, how many leases they're going to offer. So we also advocate on that as well. We're coming up on the, I think, 15-year anniversary of the Deepwater Horizon disaster, which a lot of us remember in the Gulf. It happened on April 20th, spilled, you know, over, I think, 200 million gallons of oil, killed 11 people. It leaked for over 87 days, I believe. And so we need to remember these disasters, learn from our mistakes, and protect our waters, not look at so much short-term profit, but long-term gain.
Well, we have a job, Kat. We have a job.
Is this why we have more marine protected areas? I've seen a bigger push for that. And when trying to read up about what we were speaking about today, is that something you guys are passionate about doing in order to help prevent some of these entanglements and, you know, boater speeds? And
yeah, so Oceana works on marine protected areas all over the world and also has put in comments for marine protected areas in waters off of Florida. So that's something that we believe, that we work on. Obviously, a lot of scientific data goes into that. But with the whales, again, it also depends on, you know, the seasons that they travel and that they migrate and where they're breeding. So there's certain months of the year in Florida that aren't an issue so much for speeding vessels. So, you know, these laws are not for the entire year. They do data on when and where these laws should be enforced.
Now, something that I just read, in reading this, it blows my mind. An estimated 8 million metric tons, which is 17.6 billion pounds of plastic, enters the oceans each year. Obviously, that's a lot. How does that much plastic get into the ocean?
So it does come from land, either rivers flowing out to the ocean. A lot of times we might think that we threw something away properly in the trash can. It gets lost during transport. Things can leach from our landfills and things. But, you know, a lot of times also, that's a very good point, because I've seen people show videos of other nations, maybe countries in Asia, where it looks like they're emptying all this plastic out into the ocean. But what I want to remind people is, I said that most of our plastic is not getting recycled. We used to think that we were recycling our plastic, and we were actually shipping it to other nations. We were shipping it out of sight, out of mind, to nations that couldn't deal with the amount of plastic that we were sending them. And, you know, Philippines, Malaysia, China. And back in 2018, China had to enact a policy called National Sword. And they said, we are not going to accept the world's plastic anymore. Stop shipping it to us. It's too much. We can't handle it. It's dirty. We can't make it into anything else because it's not useful plastic. And so, you know, a lot of those nations were in turn dumping that into the ocean. And people would see that and blame the Asian nations, and that was our plastic that we had sent over there. That was our plastic. And so we have a huge responsibility. We don't know what to do with our plastic now. It's being backed up. Most of it goes in the landfill or in the incinerator because we were so used to just shipping it out of the country. So one of the policies that we were working on was the Break Free from Plastic Pollution Act, which we are waiting to be refiled. It's a comprehensive bill that would deal with plastic from the source. And one of the things would be, we're not going to ship our plastic to foreign nations that can't deal with that amount of plastic. And we're going to stop. We're going to put a temporary pause on these plastic facilities and making more plastic.
This is shocking information here. I had no idea. Okay, so I'm going to end with two questions for you. Again, you have plenty of things that you do. What is the one thing that everybody can do on a daily basis that is easy to contribute? And what's the big thing that you want people to focus on?
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, indecision, overthinking, second-guessing every choice you make. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, beige on beige on beige. In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Founded in 1964, Fremont Bank understands the difference 60 years can make. It's the difference found in the details. The difference between customers and trusted neighbors. The difference between preparing for the coming weeks and planning for the coming years. The difference between serving a community and serving your community. So what difference does 60 years make? All the difference in the world. Fremont Bank. Here for you. Here for good.
Yeah, besides those little personal things that I said that I also do, please find out who your lawmakers are. Become educated and don't be embarrassed to ask people or to find. Now we have Google. You can find out anything on Google.
Yeah.
Don't be embarrassed to ask people. I don't automatically assume that most adults know how our government works or the different levels of government. So I educate them. I say, I work on mostly on federal bills. Those are bills that affect the entire United States. Those are your members of Congress. Find out who your members of Congress are so you can contact them. If you hear about a state bill, those are your state lawmakers. That's a different level of government. Find out who they are. Contact them when you hear about a state bill. Then you have your local government. So there's something you can do on the city level, which I love local government because it's where the most change happens and it's where the people are the most closest to the government. And I find the most change can happen in a short period of time because they really listen because you're all in the same, neighborhood or district. So talk with your local lawmakers as well, your city leaders, your county leaders, and, contact members of Oceana and ask, how can I create change in my area? Because I've also done advocacy trainings where I teach people how to go, create change in there. And I'm like, I was a teacher. I didn't have any formal, training, and I was able to do it. I've seen Girl Scouts pass laws at the city level. I've seen Girl Scouts go in and pass laws. So anybody can do it. Anybody can call their lawmaker and get in touch with them. And I really encourage you to do it on a regular basis.
Can you give us your website one more time for all information, Oceana, please?
Yes, oceana.org. And if you're in the United States, usa.oceana.org.
Thank you so much, Kat Uden, Senior Field Representative, South Florida of Oceana, and thank you for listening.
For more information on Oceana and their work worldwide, visit oceana.org. And for more green tips and ideas for your own personal one thing, visit odyssey.com/one thing. That's odyssey.com/1 thing.
Thank you all for joining us on Better Living, a show about people or organizations having a big impact here in North Texas. I'm Chris Arnold. So long, everybody.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Esa-Pekka Salonen's final concerts as music director of the San Francisco Symphony bring legendary artists and epic music to Davies Symphony Hall, culminating in Mahler's electrifying Second Symphony. Tickets at sfsymphony.org.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Hass avocados or mangoes, 4 for $5 or $1.25 each. Signature Farms boneless, skinless chicken breasts or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And enjoy an exclusive digital deal on Sargento shredded or sliced cheeses. 5 to 8 ounce selected varieties, $1.97 each, limit 4. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
If you love your customers, you have to try RingCentral. No matter the size of your business, every call, every text, every meeting, every customer conversation matters. With RingCentral, you get a reliable business phone, a modern contact center, and built-in AI across every conversation, so you can focus on the moments that matter. See for yourself at ringcentral.com.
RingCentral, intelligent communications you can trust.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.